pour something flammable into your glass. It's Jaded Gamercast. My name is Lang. With me, as always, is Nathan. And boy, do we have a doozy today. It's time to return to the roots of this good podcast. Something that, honestly, Nathan and I have been putting off for, I'd say, a good few weeks now. Almost like just letting, you know, like a good chili, you have to let it simmer for a long time. I've said that about this show many times. We're like a good chili. It gives you gas and you feel sick afterwards if you have too much of it.
That is very accurate.
But as accurate as you're going to get. So yes, we will be talking about the new, updated 2012 release of ETC rules for Warhammer, obviously, because for 40K it's fine. There's really not much there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Warhammer 40,000, as any, you know, hardcore 40K player will tell you, is completely balanced. There are absolutely no issues at all. Every single codex is competitive. So, I mean, there we go.
Yeah, so there's no point.
Yeah, absolutely not. Don't take my sarcasm as me saying that if I were running a 40K tournament, I would ETC comp the shit out of it. But I always just find it hilarious that the ETC considers Warhammer to be completely unplayable.
Yeah.
And therefore in need of
massive overhaul.
Pages
of overhauls. All right. So I don't know if there's much to say for this week in hobby because we're still playing Star Wars and Mass Effect was released. So I really haven't been doing much of the painting. I did get another game of Firestorm in this week, which was pretty fun. It was against a Cerulean fleet, which is the first time that I played them. And they weren't quite as problematic as I thought they might have been. So I was pretty happy with that. But so let's push on into higher learning for this week, which is Grey Knights for Warhammer 40,000. So again, in higher learning, as we're doing it this time around, we're really going to be focusing on list building and kind of the metagame that goes along with it. So we've talked about Grey Knights very, very much, and we've come back to them over and over again as kind of being the measuring stick, right? There's Space Marines and then there's Grey Knights. And Grey Knights right now, we were even having this conversation yesterday with a couple people. You know, it was a book that was essentially written for 6th edition, and it's just, you know, everyone has to live with the fact that it's just whacked out for a year until 6th edition comes out and balances it back out again. So,
but yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at the points costs, and quite frankly, they're out to fucking lunch right now. I mean, they don't make any sense at all. And that's why, I mean, for me, I look at the Grey Knights Codex and I'm able to infer a lot of changes for 6th edition. But, you know, we won't talk about that. Let's talk about building a Grey Knight Codex right now in 5th edition if you want to take it to a tournament. I think the most common list that people are going to end up taking is kind of the Razor Spam list, because at the end of the day, you can put Cybolt ammunition onto... will you make less noise?
Is that your daughter?
That...
That is my wife. Surprise, surprise. I think he muted the mic. Perfect. He's like, bitch, I'm talking. Bitch, you know what's happening right now.
Damn straight. No, but I mean, you know, the razor spam list is definitely a good one, because it basically allows you to have your choice of, do you want a strength 6 heavy bolter on the cheap by just taking a basic razorback, giving it Cybolt ammunition, or do you want the strength 7 assault cannon by upgrading the turret weapon to that. Now, both of them are absolutely fantastic. I personally say the cheaper the better, especially because everything is kind of expensive in the Grey Knight book. So I would personally just stick to heavy bolter with side bolt ammo, because you're still getting 3 twin link strength 6 shots. It's pretty ace. In terms of things to avoid in the Grey Knight Codex, honestly, I haven't found one yet. Like, every single thing is just potent at this point. You've got Terminators for troops. You've got HQs that can unlock either Inquisitorial henchmen as troops, Paladins as troops, Purifiers as troops. You know, you're good to go that way. As much as I hate it because it's retarded, the Nemesis Dread Knight for its points is probably, you know, the only bargain basement choice that you have in a Grey Knight Codex other than Sifleman Dreads. So, I mean, I think the reason you don't see Dread Knights as much is is players just like to max out their heavy support slot with Siphleman Dreads, which leaves their elites open. And again, let's not forget the fact that Grey Knights can run fucking six Siphleman Dreads, three Venerables and three Regulars. So, I mean, it is a army that can pack in a whole lot of hurt in really every force org slot, although no one takes fast attack.
Why?
Is it Dark Eldar? I have phenomenal fast attack choices. I'd never leave home without them. They're the only army list I would ever say that about.
For the most part, I think that you can get away with taking Death Copters, but again, that's just because I like Death Copters. It's not because they're particularly amazing.
Yeah, I think Death Copters are a great kamikaze unit, mm-hmm. if you give them the buzzsaws. But anyway, we're getting onto orcs. You know, like I said, there really isn't much to talk about in terms of building a competitive Grey Knight list. Like, you know, unfortunately, the list as it stands right now is fucking point and click. Take as many side cannons as you can pack in. It doesn't matter who the fuck is carrying it, whether it be a crow list making them purifiers so you can grab four for a unit of 10, or strike squads just taking two, or terminators. Grab as many side cannons as you can. I personally like the upgrade to Psy Bolt ammunition on the whole unit because Strength 5 Storm Bolters are the tits, and it's typically not overbearingly expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if you do need to scrimp for points, drop it. It's not, like I said, it's good to have. It's not a need to have. Personally, I think that maybe we should kind of focus on fighting Grey Knights because I think that might be a little more relevant other than, hey, look, you don't have any duds.
Fair enough, right? I mean, fighting Grey Knights isn't going to be a lot different from your typical strategy for fighting Marines. The difference being that you do have to be much more conscious of the close combat game and how you're going to be dealing with vehicles. So it's really going to come down to the anti-tank that you're able to put out and how you're deploying your close combat units against his army. But outside of that, I mean, what are the tricks?
Well, I think... You just have to be aware of the strengths of the Grey Knight list. Like, for example, you do not want to rely on psychic checks to deal with vehicles. This is one of the reasons why Tyranids have such a hard matchup for them, is, you know, Zoanthropes get completely shut down because psychic checks are done at -3 or -4. I think it's -4 when targeting a vehicle. So, I mean, that's always going to be fucking rough. You know, so I mean... When you are packing in your anti-tank, and you need it because rhinos are still cheap and they're a good way to deliver all those storm bolter power weapon toting marines, you know, you need to make sure that it's sort of it's very conventional. Take melta guns, obviously, rocket launchers, hell, even las cannons are going to be good, because the other thing that you have to keep in mind is unless you immobilize or destroy a Grey Knight vehicle, you cannot stop it. Okay, I mean, they on a psychic check of 10, you know, leadership 10, they ignore all crew shaken and stunned results. So, I mean, it's a very sort of implacable, yeah, advanced kind of force. So you need to focus on a tank and kill it till it's, shoot it till it's dead. You know, nothing else is really worthwhile, because if you stun it, unlike other armies where you can say, great, it's not shooting me for a turn, move on, the Grey Knights will still shoot. Otherwise, yeah, like Lang was saying, you have to be very smart about your close combat units. Ideally, you just want to shoot the fuck out of them because they are as survivable as Marines.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, in combat, if they've got...
Well, some armies are just not going to have the opportunity to shoot the fuck out of them.
No, it's true. And that's when, you know, as much as I hate to say it, you know, cross your fingers and hope to God they don't have purifiers.
Right.
But they will, because, I mean... You know, purifiers can take Nemesis Force Halberds, so they're all initiative 6 power weapons with cleansing flames and hammer hand. Like, it's just, they're such a potent unit that almost everyone takes Castle and Crow to unlock them as troops, and they go to town. So if you are going to hit them in combat, try to hit them with sort of two different types of units, you know. So it's just like, if we're going to talk Tyranids for a second, because, hey, I know them. You would want to, if at all possible, never throw a big unit of Gaunts into a unit of Purifiers, because Cleansing Flame is going to kill half of them before they get to swing. But if you do have to send in sort of a small unit, also send in a monstrous creature. That way they're forced to make the decision, do I use Hammer Hand and go for the monster, or do I use Cleansing Flame and go for the hordes? Because no matter what, you're hedging your bets and saying, even if I lose one, I'm going to wipe this unit out. And if they are geared to the nines, if they do have, you know, four psi cannons, psi bolt ammo, and fucking 10 halberds, they are tipping the scales at 300 points. So if you're throwing away a 200 point unit to take out 300 points, you're still winning. You're still up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the things that you have to contend with. The other thing is honestly, I would try to bring as much instant death, you know, high strength, you know, low AP, AP one or two as possible, just in case the guy runs paladins.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, if you're a Space Marine player, write Vindicators back into your list, strength 10 AP one. Laugh at paladins, because you're, you know, rather than the wound allocation bullshit and the Terminator armor and the feel no pain, you're ignoring absolutely all of that by just instant killing these horrifically expensive, you know, kind of Terminator Marines, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, it just, yeah, you know, you got to rely on your shooting phase as much as possible against Grey Knights. They're going to shut you down in this, you know, with psychic tests, so you can't rely on psychers. Which, you know, must rub Eldar players the wrong way.
Well, it's just...
Yeah, we're the most powerful psychers in the galaxy, unless they wear power armor. Fuck.
Yeah. It's like in Star Wars, when in the extended universe they invented cortosis, is that what it was called, right? Cortosis weave? When they're just like, oh yeah, it's this stuff, and lightsabers can't cut through it.
Yeah.
It's like, ah, fine. And then everyone... You know, from somebody who does role playing, you know, when I ran like a role play game for a really long time, you would always have people coming in and they're just like, oh yeah, and I want Cortosis armor. And you're just like, no, you can't have it. And they're like, why not? Everybody wanted Cortosis, like, because they just didn't, you know, it was just one of those things where it's just like, oh yeah. So I get a kick out of the idea of power armor just being Cortosis, but it's the GM who gives everybody what they want.
Yeah.
And just everybody's running around with like anti-psyker, and psyker's supposed to be like the best thing in the game.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, because like that's the thing. It's just like, fuck, you know, Grey Knight librarians are fucking amazing. So, I mean, why would they not take one with a psychic hood and just, you know, stack their psychic goodness and shut shit down? But yeah, I mean, if you're going to fight against Grey Knights, bring as much conventional anti-tank as you can. Focus on one tank until it's dead or immobilized, if you're trying to stop it. If it's a shooting tank, like I said, you gotta focus till it's dead or the weapon you're afraid of is gone. Pack in as much instant death as you can. I honestly think that plasma cannons are a phenomenal choice to take against Grey Knights, because, you know, even though you're not instant killing paladins, you're still able to drop, you know, a dev squad with four plasma cannons is still able to drop a shit ton of hurt. It ignores their armor, ignores their feel no pain. So even if all you do is drop all those two wound paladins down to a single wound, now you're just killing Terminators.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, that's super good. And then other than that, be very careful about close combats. You know, a lot of armies are forced into fighting them. But I mean, you're fighting an army that for the most part is going to out initiative you, even if you're Eldar, it doesn't matter. They're going to out initiative you. They all have power weapons. So it's just like, if you rely on your armor, they don't care. If you rely on your toughness, they've got psychic powers to deal with that. You rely on your numbers, they've got psychic powers to deal with that. So, I mean, Grey Knights will always be a hard matchup. I guess you can always hope for, you know, what, Black Blow Fly just posted his last battle report on Bell of Lost Souls, in that if the Grey Knight player is functionally retarded and just does absolutely everything wrong, great, you can win the game.
Yeah.
Because functionally retarded. So yeah, like I said, I don't know. Grey Knights, if you're a Grey Knight player, laugh it up. I'm sure 6th edition is going to nerf you hard. Like, I'm certain of it. So enjoy it while it lasts. If you are not a Grey Knight player, suck it up and bear it until 6th edition drops.
Or play fantasy. Like I said,
yeah, play fantasy.
As you can tell, I don't have much to say about the Grey Knights. I've read the Codex. I haven't played them since the Codex was released. So it was just, there's been really no opportunity to really get a good, you know, feel for the army since it's been re-released.
Yeah, you know, like I said, full disclosure, I mean, fuck, I've only played, I think, three games of 40K in the last year. So none of them have been against Grey Knights. But I do read up enough online. I kind of see the trends, see the way things are going. And yeah, I mean, other than the fact that their grenades are fucking cheater. I charge you. Oh, okay. I completely neuter your unit because apparently you're tripping balls.
Yeah.
What?
Hooray.
No, but I mean, you know, at the end of the day, I think Grey Knights are a bigger boogeyman than they are. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that this isn't me invalidating everything I just said. They are good. They are very good. And part of the reason is because they do have a tool for every single job. They can deal with everything. But at the end of the day, the book is so prohibitively expensive that most Grey Knight players typically just choose to move in one or two directions. Mm-hmm. So there is always the chance that you are going to get a draw against them that is very beneficial to you. If you play Imperial Guard, remember, all of your strengths are their weakness. You know, their biggest weaknesses. So it's just like you want to have shit tons of mech. You want to shoot their fucking face off. You want to pack in as much melt as you can. Those are the things that spell death to Grey Knights. What the hardest matchups are going to be is if you are a close combat army that has to close the gap against guys that, you know, all have assault weapons. They all have high strength. You know, if they buy Cybolt ammo and you're a toughness 3 army like Eldar, Tyranids, whatever, their basic troopers wounding you on twos in the shooting phase. I mean, that hurts hard. You know, so it's just like if you're a combat army, try to play smart as you can. Overwhelm a single side. Like I said, do those combo charges where you throw in two different types of units. So if you're fucking Eldar, hit a Wraith Lord in with a unit of Striking Scorpions. That way he has to choose. What is he going to be really good at killing? What is he not? Actually, if you're an Eldar player, I would say Grey Knights are the biggest reason to take Howling Banshees.
Yeah,
Howling Banshees will strike first. But I mean, like I said, you've got, what, 6 months until the new edition lands? Less? I mean, you know, there's talk of it coming out in June, which is Games Workshop's typical release window for a new edition. So, I mean, realistically, Grey Knight players, laugh it up for 3 more months. Everyone else, suck it up for 3 more months. The world will be made right with 6th edition.
Ooh, that is a bold claim.
Yeah.
We're talking about Games Workshop here, Nathan. All right. So,
I have faith because 8th edition is so good.
Yeah, fair enough. It's so good, it needs to be fixed.
That, you know, hey, what a segue.
All right, so the ETC, we've talked about them before. Very, very big overseas in the UK, Australia, you know, places all over Europe. It's basically something that people are accepting kind of in mass. I would say a good half of the gaming community is all for this, which is what makes it so strange when you disagree with it and you go through and you actually read these restrictions that they put on lists for these tournaments, because they take away from the game in so many different places. Of course, in my opinion, somebody posted something interesting recently where they were saying like, oh, well, if you're not the host of Jaded Gamercast, you know, then you obviously think that Warhammer needs to be fixed because it's so broken, which, you know, I got a kick out of, but you know, it really is just one of those things where I've been looking at this, trying to look at this from the perspective of like, well, why are they doing this? Like, what is the real worry here? You know, at what point is this really ruining games for people and overbalancing stuff and just turning the game into this utter mess to the point where they feel like it's unplayable? Because it's hard for me to see that. And we're going to kind of go through and break it down, and I'm going to try to play devil's advocate a little bit. And kind of say, well, you know, let's try to break down why they've decided that this needs to happen. You know, a lot of them are pretty obvious, but some of them are a bit confusing,
yes,
to say the least. And
you know what I think it is, not to totally derail you, but it's just like, to me, it feels like the organizers of the ETC and people that buy into it feel like Warhammer should be chess. Because when you go through these rules, when you go through these fucking limitations, it absolutely looks like they are trying to bland up every army. Every army should be the same in movement. Every army should be the same in magic and shooting and so on and so forth. So that at the end of the day, it comes down to whose tactics are better. And to me, I think that is the intent of the ETC. So rather than assuming that the game devs have an idea of what they're doing like we do.
See, I disagree. I don't think that that's the intent. I think the intent is they feel like they're balancing the game. As far as they're concerned, I think if you were to say something like that to them, they would say, well, no, there's more than enough diversity out there. I said, but, you know, they would say between all the different armies, you're not going to see bland, same old, same old, just because that's not the way the game is played. As far as they're concerned, what they're doing is balancing, for real. Like, they honestly feel like what they're doing is balancing the game to make it more fair for everybody.
See, and that's funny, because like I said, when I see this, all I see is them tearing the game down to its foundations and just saying, you know, this is your list. Do you want it to look like Dark Elves, look like Beastmen?
I think that's the result, right? I think that I would agree with you that that's the result, but that's definitely not their aim. You know, what they're doing, yes, that's what it comes out to in my eyes. What it comes out to in my eyes is everybody has 30-man units and everybody has this, you know, like, it's just, this is what the game has become. Okay, so let's kind of break this down a little bit here. Obviously, this is meant for tournament play. So, you know, a lot of people will say that because it's in a tournament situation, like a tournament environment, that trying to bounce the game in this direction is what makes it good and fair and easier to score, whatever you want to say. Because basically they say, you know, the random scenarios or the random magic phase or stacking the deck in your favor has no place in a tournament because all it does is, you know, turn the game into 40K, right? But I don't necessarily see that or agree with it, because the way that they change the game essentially feeds right back into the reason why they did it in the first place. All they're doing is unbalancing the game.
No, you know, you're absolutely right, and I think that is a big issue with the ETC is I mean, if you want to hear our thoughts about last year's rules, go listen to episode one, then listen to this episode now.
And I'll apologize right now if you go back to episode one for the mic quality.
The sound quality. We've gotten better over the last 69 episodes. Who knew? No, but I mean, the biggest thing is if you are going to go back and listen, you're going to see the very visible differences between last year and this year, because I think what you're saying is right. You start trying to slap on all of these restrictions. You start trying to create your own version of the game, and that's really what it is, because the ETC shouldn't even be called Warhammer anymore. Like, it's literally a different game.
Yeah.
You know, you can see that people read last year's rules, came up with whatever loophole they did, and this year they're trying to ban it again.
Yeah.
And so at this year's ETC, you know, scenario, someone is going to come up with the super ultra answer to break the ETC rules, and it's just going to be banned next year. And I mean, it really just creates this sort of fucking cycle where eventually, like I said, they're just going to be playing mirror match lists. Okay, this is the list that everyone can play.
Well, see, that's
you
the
can,
thing.
You can model it with whatever army you happen to play, but this is everyone's list. Go. And that is what they are becoming. Because realistically, like I said, it's just like you look at what they had last year, and you look like this year is even more restrictive.
I think they're just eventually going to get to the point where they just say, which army are you playing? High Elves? Here's your army list.
Yep.
And then they basically just say, like, great, this is the one you're playing with. This is the most balanced High Elf list. Welcome to the ETC. Go play with the most balanced High Elf list. And they're going to have the most balanced everything list to just hand out to you, because that's the inevitable conclusion of this type of gameplay. You're taking list building out of the equation, which is a huge part of the game as far as you and I are concerned. Okay, but let's get into the conversation a little bit here. General restrictions, part one. I love that they just call it general restrictions, because it's not part of their rules, quote-unquote rules change, because these restrictions do nothing but change the rules, but their rules change section is like two things.
Yeah.
Like, they basically just say rules changes. Characters will get a lookout serve versus the following spells that automatically kill models or automatically remove entire regiments. Dwellers, Final Transmutation, Dreaded 13th, Infernal Gateway, 11 and 12 effect. Normal requirements for lookout serve apply. Which is hilarious. It just means that you get to bunker all your characters without any problems, or, you know, it has to be a 1 in 6 chance of doing it, which is hilarious considering that a lot of those spells will only kill them on a 6. You know?
Oh, yeah, like, that's the thing. Is like, when you look at Dwellers, they have to fail a strength test. Final Transmutation is a 6. Dreaded 13th means they have to be in a unit small enough for the Skaven player to roll enough models to wipe everyone out. And Infernal Gateway, 11 to 12. I mean, fuck, I've been Infernal Gateway probably 20 times. I've never been 11 to 12, and I know, hey, look, you know, I'm a little on, you know, over the bell curve, but it's just like there's still only a 1 in 12 chance of you losing that unit.
Yeah.
And realistically, what Dreaded or what Infernal Gateway does that I love is it is the anti-Death Star. Because if I am playing a fucking Tzeentch list and I have Infernal Gateway and you're playing a Death Star, I'm going to throw it every turn.
But there's no...
Every single turn.
But Nathan, there's no Death Stars in the ETC.
And that was going to be my next point. It's just like, it is completely worthless because in the ETC, you can't build Death Stars because apparently that breaks the game.
Yeah. So it's 2,400 points is the tournament. No special or named characters, fine. You have to use the published books, fine. Minimum, you can have a maximum of 3 identical core choices.
So, you know what? For most books, it's not an issue. Yeah. I think... you know, I think Lizardmen, it kind of kind of sucks because you have 2 core choices, period.
Yep.
But yeah, like I said, most armies have enough diversity. Again, High Elves, I think, are another one of those armies where it's just like, God, really? I have 3 choices. I have archers, I have spearmen, and I have spearmen with bows.
Yeah, which wouldn't be so bad of an issue if you were allowed to play the unit sizes that you actually wanted to play. Then yes. I wouldn't have to worry about having a minimum of 3. But if you're going to go ahead and say, okay, well... max number of models with missile weapons of range 20 or more is 45, not including war machines. An army may have up to 5 war machines and template weapons. So if you take a breath weapon, it counts as a war machine. War machines that use template count as single choice. So anyways, unit sizes. A unit cannot be more than 40 models or 450 points, including all command upgrades and magic banners. This restriction applies to the creation of the roster, yada, 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 yada. Does not apply to characters. This is hilarious because it means that I can't take 10 knights, or I can't take a unit of bigger than 10 knights. And if I take 10 knights, I can't take a magic banner.
Poor high elves. I mean, they can't run a horde of any of their special infantry. I mean, we talked about higher learning with high elves last book. All of their shit is 15 points a model, which means if you take 30, that's 450 points.
Yep.
Right there. So that means no command, no magic banners.
Yep.
So like I said, it's just like it's such
a high elf force break the game.
Yeah, clearly. But I mean, it's so arbitrary. I mean, you know, you can't run, you know, you can run goblin hordes. We'll get to that later. You can't run big units of Skaven slaves to try to roadblock. You know, like I said, it's just like. It's so silly. It's so arbitrary. Because, I mean, really, what does 40 models or 450 points? And, I mean, fuck, you play ogres, Lang. Does that mean that you can run a unit of 12 ogres?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Damn it.
Right? You know, like, it's just like, it's just so Lang fucking... Yeah, I know. It's just so fucking ridiculous and arbitrary where they're just like, no, big units break the game, you know? Sure, I mean, if you're playing MSU, you're going to flank them, you're going to get rear charges, you're going to get flank charges, you can run deep and break their steadfast. Like, but no, I mean, that's just broken if they run a big unit. Like, it's fucking stupid.
Well, and again, here's where I want to start talking about the idea of, like, kind of why they did this. And again, it has to do with the hordes and the Death Stars and all those things kind of lumping into one... into one big unit in the middle of the table that people have a hard time dealing with. And the majority of the reason why people have a hard time dealing with it is because they're not building their lists to deal with Death Stars. They're building their list the way they were building it in 7th edition with smaller unit sizes and, you know, just the kind of weird mixed balance that we used to see in 7th edition for a lot of army lists, right? So when the idea comes down the pipe that somebody's going to bring a 50-man Chaos Warrior unit, and everybody goes, what the fuck? That's just, you can't do this. This is insane. This is absolutely retarded. You know, you can't play an army like that, even though that is an insanely vulnerable unit to doom spells. And yep. It's an insanely vulnerable unit to shooting. It's insanely vulnerable for flank charges and rear charges. Like, it's just putting that thing on the table, yes, you're putting all your eggs in one basket. It's going to be hard to kill that unit, and you are going to have to fight your way through it. But it's not like this is a game-breaking change to the game that was completely throwing people off. I mean, we've been playing in a lot of tournaments, and we've seen a lot of huge, ridiculously high-points-costing hordes. And not one of them has stopped you dead.
Well, yeah, and I mean, that's the thing is, I mean, my fucking horde of 40 bloodletters with the Herald is tipping the scales at almost 700 points. Like,
and I wiped it out.
Oh, yeah, fuck. And out of the basement, I think everyone wiped it out.
Yeah, it's not like, that it's... hard. But again, they figure out that breaks the game. I can't deal with it. And they put these restrictions in place. Okay, So we're going to get back to unit sizes a little bit more as we start getting into the army-specific restrictions, quote-unquote. But let's talk about magic restrictions.
You know, I don't want to spend a lot of time on magic, honestly, because
there's only one thing I want to talk about.
Fair enough. Basically, magic is the same as last year, except they've put another heavier, they put another cap on the number of power dice you're allowed to use to cast. And otherwise there's stupid power dice, dispel dice. You can have this, you can you can't have that.
This counts as a power dice. This counts as a spell dice.
Yeah, exactly. That dumb shit is still there.
They've expanded it in the army restrictions. Crazy.
Cause like basically I think you said it best, and I don't mean to steal your thunder if this is what you're going to say, but you said it best. Yeah. Yesterday when we were talking about it with just some friends, they basically feel like you should be able to cast one spell a turn. And anything more than that is overkill. Like I said, you read through this where it's just like you're only allowed to generate two power dice, which means channeling. Remember, you can only ever channel two power dice because if you channel three, you throw the third away. But if you took a magic item that counts as power dice, right? You know, so if I took the Book of Hoth that counts as two power dice, or is that banned this year? I can't remember.
It's banned.
Fair enough. So it's just like if I take that and it counts as two power dice, then don't even bother channeling. You're not allowed. Mm-hmm. Because that would be generating additional dice and you just have to discard them. And you're just like, are you kidding me? Yep. Like,
they basically just face channeling out of the game 100%. Anybody that is able to generate power dice, like Lizardmen using, I can't even remember the name of it right now. The one that gives you the extra power dice per spell. You're only allowed to do that on two spells. What's that?
Is it Becalming Cogitation?
No, Becalming Cognition is the one that where you have to discard all the sixes. But that counts as dispel dice, by the way. But no,
of course it does.
I think it's Focused Rumination, but, basically that one, you can only ever use it twice. You can only ever use that free dice twice. And that's if you already, didn't channel. If you channeled, you can only use it once. Like it's a ridiculous restriction, but again, I don't want to get into that. I want to get into the biggest change, which is the max number of dice you can throw is 5 dice per spell. That was not in the game last year.
No, it wasn't.
Because of the fact of exactly what you said, which is, they have this perspective that wizards should not be dependable for casting spells. If you read the comments under the post with these rules, people were clamoring for the fact that that should be reduced to 4. Because they were, somebody literally said this. They were just like, you know what, man? Like, yeah, I've got a level 4 wizard, and like he casts like 70% of his spells. Like, he almost never fails. It's just like, listen, he shouldn't be a 300-point piece of shit. He's not a fighter. He's not a command unit. He shouldn't be a model that gets on the table and does nothing per turn. He's a guy that you pay a ton of points for so that he's dispelling and casting spells. Like, there's more than enough ways to defend spells. And you know what? Yes, irresistible force and miscast, they happen. It happens. We all have to deal with it. It happens more often than I want it to happen. Okay?
Never happens for me.
Fuck you. you cocksucker.
Ah, oh, but I would love it. Are you kidding me? If I throw 6 dice at Occam's Mind Razor, I want that shit. I don't care if my wizard blows up.
See,
give it to me.
I'm not trying to throw 6 dice at Occam's Mind Razor. I'm trying to cast 4 spells in a turn, right?
Yeah.
But again, that's the thing, right? Like, and that's the problem is they have this idea that a wizard should only function 50% of the time, and that when he does, you should always have a good chance of dispelling it. Their idea of dispelling it is basically because you can still throw 6 dice to fucking dispel it.
Yeah.
It makes no fucking sense. They're just like, oh yeah, but you should be able to dispel everything. And why I said you should only be, their idea is a wizard should cast one spell a turn. And your big spells are nerfed, and all this other stuff should mean nothing. There's no point in taking wizards.
Well, that's the thing is, I mean, they've already nerfed the big spells and their ability to snipe characters. I'm surprised Gehenna's Golden Hounds isn't on there.
Yeah. Lookout, sir, to it already, so.
That's fair. But, I mean, what about all the Lore of Death shit that just straight-up targets characters? I'm surprised they haven't been banned. Oh, you get a Lookout, sir, from that spell that's designed to kill characters and it's really short range. No, but, I mean, you're absolutely right. You know, by adding a 5 fucking dice cap, when you look at it, it makes 24 plus casts like Occam's Mind Razor very improbable. Like, very improbable. Like, a level 22 with 5 dice should statistically never hit Occam's Mind Razor. Ever.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really all they're trying to do, is that they're basically just saying, you know, without banning this spell outright, we're just going to try to make it fucking impossible for you to hit, unless you hit the double sixes.
Yep.
And you're right, because I can still throw all seven of my dispel dice if I got a six and channeled at your five dice, you know, I'm just going to fucking laugh at you. I'm able to absolutely dispel everything that comes my way. But you're right. They are trying to limit cast because, in their opinion, the new spells and the new magic lores are just fucking retardedly over the top and broken.
Yep.
Even though, you know, again, you know, I've played probably 50-ish games of 8th edition. I've played a lot. I've only encountered one game where Pit of Shades was dominant,
yep.
You know, and that was an Onslaught, right?
Yep.
You know, I hit that, you know, entirely initiative one army and dropped Kolek and about 12 trolls. Despite running a big block of initiative one guys, you know, it's just like, you know, sure, I get purple sunned, I'll lose 10 guys. Big deal. It happens. Shit happens.
Well, even as a Lizardman player with a Slan, I mean, I was running Lore of Metal for the longest time, so I was, every single time, Final Transmutation on the big unit with all the characters in it. And only once did I actually kill a character with it. Sorry, Lawrence.
I was going to say, that was Lawrence.
Yeah. Only once has that ever happened to me, and I've used it a ton. I understand how rare it is, but okay, playing Devil's Advocate, that one time, yeah, it pissed Lawrence off. Did Lawrence stop playing Warhammer and bitch about the spell because it was so crazy? It's like, no, the dude just, he understood that it was that odd chance that it was going to happen. Hey, guess what? Like, this is part of the game now. You just have to accept it. And he moves on and he keeps playing. He doesn't go online and try to get a group of people together to say, we need to change the rules. But okay, let's move on to the army specific restrictions here.
These are fantastic.
Just special.
These are short bus special. Yeah. I fucking love them.
So Beastman armies suck. So you have an extra 200 points on your roster, so it's a total of 2,600. All victory points scored against this army are decreased by 10%.
Sure. Which is actually better, because, you know, as I said last time, if you do the math, that means that even if you get tabled, he scores 260 victory points less.
Yeah.
As opposed to just the 200.
As opposed to the 200. I don't know why they just didn't say minus 200. Beastmen can generate an extra power dice instead of two. Why?
Well, and that's exactly the point, is when you look at the Beastmen magic items, they are not an army that's generating a shit ton of power dice. They're not Lizardmen. They're not Dark Elves. They're not even Demons of Chaos that have, you know, all have spells to generate additional power dice. I mean, really, all this is saying is, if you choose to give, you know, Lore of Death to your Bray Shaman, you could get three dice instead of two,
right.
I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big deal. Like, it's such a pointless thing. You know, because it's not like they have said that any of these common magic items or Beastman magic items, because apparently they all suck, you know, are the counts as power dice or anything like that. So, I mean, yeah, basically, Beastman fucking blow.
Yep.
And that is all they're saying.
Yeah, exactly. That's and again, I look at that thing and I'm just like, so why? Like, at what point did they say, you know what, Beastmen really need to balance them out? An extra power dice. For real. Absolutely. That's what they need. They need an extra power dice. Bretonnia, no restrictions, because I'm sure somebody plays them.
Yep, absolutely.
Because I couldn't think of a single thing, sarcasm, that would need to be restricted according to these types of rules. Dark Elves! Oh, poor Dark Elves.
Oh, God. Before we get into Dark Elves, I just want to say that it is very clear that whoever wrote the ETC rules hates Dark Elves, Demons of Chaos, and Lizardmen.
Yep.
Straight up fucking hates them. Everything, you know, because every other army, like I said, you can tell what they play. And yeah, like, that's it. It's just like, what do they hate? They hate it when their Bretonnia run into Dark Elves.
Yep. Or their orcs run into Dark Elves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm almost thinking that all of the armies that get additional points, they play as well. Oh, you know, my Beastmen, they're just terrible. That's why I'll just give myself 200 more points. That way it changes all my percentages.
Undoubtedly. Okay, so yeah. Hydras are 0-1. Because
same as last year.
Two breaks the game. Yep. Max 35 repeater crossbows, because, again, we've talked about that. You can only have two bolt throwers, even though their War Machine's restrictions say you can take more. But, again, they want to nerf it. You can only have up to three flying units, because units break the game.
Look, dude, have you ever run into the harpy horde? I mean, fuck. You know how bad harpies can be.
God. Shades, yeah, limited. What I get a kick out of is the Pendant of Kaleth cannot be taken by a lord. Where they're just like, no, no, you can't. You can't. It's too much. It's just, he's invincible. You can't kill him.
No. See, even beyond that, because, I mean, the Pendant of Kaleth is 35 points. So it's one of those things where they're like, they don't want the stupid, rerollable 1+ armor save Pendant of Kaleth character who is unkillable on a flying mount. Clearly, a flying steed.
Yeah.
But for me, I thought the funniest thing is they have this long list of items that are 0 to 2. So you can have a maximum of 2 of the following in your entire Dark Elf army: the Pendant of Kaleth, the Crown of Command, any wizards using Death and Shadow.
Cauldron of Blood.
Apparently, and a Hydra. A Cauldron of Blood and a Hydra. So if I take my Hydra, which is a 0 to 1, and I take my Pendant of Kaleth, I cannot take any wizard using Death or Shadow magic, I cannot take a Cauldron, and I cannot take the Crown of Command.
Yep. Because those, you know, two things plus a stubborn unit.
Well, no. The reason they did this.
No, I understand it.
No. But do you know the combo that they're breaking? Yeah. So for those that aren't laying that don't know, basically what they want to do is the biggest thing that Dark Elf players used to do, which is brilliant in my mind, is you take a Dreadlord, you put him on a Pegasus, you give him the Pendant of Kaleth, a 1+ rerollable armor save, and the Crown of Command, and then you throw him at whatever unit you don't want to fight. You know, your unit, your opponent is running the Warriors of Chaos fucking Chosen Horde with the double War Shrine to make sure that they stack everything. Great. Throw your unkillable Dreadlord into the unit who will never break because he's stubborn, and just don't fight it.
Yep.
You know, they'll never kill your Dreadlord over 6 turns, and that lets you mop up the rest of his army. Like I said, it's a brilliant combination for Dark Elf players. But apparently the ability for a single character to take out a unit breaks the game. You know, God forbid you have redirectors, you have screening units, anything else. But the fact that he could have a flying, because he's on a Pegasus, unkillable character that is stubborn, well, that's just not fair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just like, fuck, I ran into one when, you know, out of the basement against the Dark Elf player that I ran. His was only a hero, and it wasn't stubborn, but it was just like, unkillable guy held up my Great Unclean One all game.
Yep.
Good for him. You know, it was a very effective ploy. Well, I mean, if I'd been running a combat Greater Demon, I'd have probably killed him after 2 or 3 or 4 rounds of combat and had the speed to get somewhere else. But it's just like, you know what, good for you.
But he's also 300 points.
Yeah.
He's 300 points. He's typically a character or a general.
He prevents you from having a lord level wizard.
Now, here's what I get a kick out of this is, but they've already capped the unit size. So he's only really going to be tying up maybe 100 points more than what he's worth.
Yes.
So, I mean, like, yeah, sure, he's tying up a unit, but it's not like he's getting victory points for that unit.
Yeah, no, hey, like I said, you're totally right. Like, that's the problem, is just like, it's so silly when you look at it in terms of Warhammer as a whole. It's silly because if you're running the Super Death Star where it's just like, yeah, you know, 1,500, 2,000 points of my army is this unit, well, then, yeah, it's hilarious.
You deserve to get caught by that shit.
Yeah, you deserve to be cock-blocked, and he's going to kill everything else in your army and ride out the minor win. Like I said, you deserve to be cock-blocked if you're going to run that. You know, go nuts. But you're right. When you look at the ETC, it's even more ridiculous because apparently, like I said, holding up a 450-point unit with a 300-point character breaks the game. You cannot overcome that 150-point deficit. Yeah. It's impossible.
Yeah, and that's what it comes down to. And that's, again, where I talk about their rules feed in on themselves. And you sit there and you go, this makes no sense. If we talk about magic, they restrict your power dice because magic is too powerful and you shouldn't be able to throw that many dice. You shouldn't be able to cast that many spells and you shouldn't be able to do all this kind of stuff. But then they restrict dispel scrolls and dispel dice that you generate.
Yes.
So it's just like you can't take a bunch of level 1 wizards and give them the various dispel items that you can get your hands on. Mm-hmm. Give them a feedback scroll. Give them this, give them that, give them this. No, they won't let you. You can't take Empire where you've got priests generating dispel dice, you know?
Yeah,
it's a joke. They go in and they nerf all of the magic defense because it's too overpowered to shut down a magic phase that brutally. But then at the same time, they're saying, well, these armies are too overpowered because they overpower other people's magic phases. But it doesn't make any sense. Like, that's part of the game. That's what their strength is.
No, you're absolutely right. Like I said, it you know, like you said, it is one of those things where it's just like they're nerfing offensive magic to the point that they have to nerf defensive magic, because if they don't, then magic shutdown armies are too powerful because they've shut down all of the magic offense. Like, it's retarded.
All right.
So anyway, let's go to dwarves.
Yeah, dwarves.
You know, basically, grudge throwers, you know, dwarf stone throwers are 0-2 instead of 0-3. Big deal. I mean, I can't take 3 grudge throwers. I guess I have to take 2. I can only generate a maximum of +4 dispel dice, which is pretty obscene when you think about it.
It is.
Because I've never run into a dwarf army that does that. Like, it's, you know, it's just like, okay, they take the Rune Lord, they generate 2. They take an anvil, so they generate an extra one. They take the Master Rune of Balance, that's 4. Like I said, it's just, I guess. But because Thoric was screwed in an FAQ, who takes an Anvil of Doom anymore?
Right.
You know, so like I said, that's silly. 0-3 of Anvil, which no one takes, Miners, and Rangers. And this is hilarious because Miners are, again, one of those sort of shitty, stupid choices. But apparently someone broke the ETC with 4 units of Miners. Oh, wait, they're special.
Start a kit.
3 units of Miners and an Anvil. Broke the game years ago when Thoric didn't suck.
Yeah, probably.
You know,
Demons of Chaos. Let's barrel into this, Demons of Chaos, because we still got a lot to go.
All right. This is the one that I was looking forward to. So apparently Demon Hordes break the game, because unlike the 40 model or 450 points, I'm allowed a maximum of 28 models per unit. So even if I add a Herald for a character, I can't make a full Horde of 30.
But what if you add 2 Heralds?
Yeah. Hey, I could do that. that is my Horde. It breaks the game otherwise.
Yeah.
Flamers are 0-1. You know, again, some demon players swear by flamers. I love one unit because people are terrified of them, and they do all right. All demonic gifts are 0-1. All right, that comp hit has come up all over the place, where instead of me being able to put Armor of Khorne on everything of Khorne, you know, every Herald and every Bloodthirster, you know, I'm only allowed to use it once. Big deal. Bloodletters and Herald of Khorne are 0-3 total. This one is hilarious. Because for those of you, because I said this yesterday, and I think Craig asked, you know, what's the deal with that? Because he didn't understand why they'd say 0-3. Basically, if I were to run 2 units of Bloodletters with a Herald in each, that breaks the game.
Yes.
So my choice is 1 unit of Bloodletters with a Herald and another unit of Bloodletters without, or throw in the 2 Heralds of Khorne so that way I can run.
You can actually have a Horde of 30.
Yeah, there we go. Demonic Battle Standard can take either Demonic Icon or Gift. So basically, just bringing me in line with everyone else, where you take a Magic Standard or you take, you know, items. Big deal. Siren Song cannot be taken. Now, this is hilarious, because they already capped my Demonic Gifts at 0-1. And for those of you that don't know what Siren Song does, basically what it is it is an ability that only a Herald of Slaanesh or a Greater Demon can take. A Greater Demon of Slaanesh, so a Keeper of Secrets, that basically says that I nominate one unit at the beginning of their turn, one enemy unit, and they have 2 options. They can declare a charge against me, or they can flee. That's it. Now, if they are immune to psychology, they must declare the charge. So you've already said I can only take one of these, and then you just outright ban it. Now, seriously, what the fuck? Like, the only reason demon players would ever take demonettes is to fit in a Siren Song, because at the end of the day, being able to control the movement of an enemy unit is a very useful ability. Does it break the game? No. Is it a useful trick in a demon army list? Yeah, of course it is. Because again, you know, if there's a, you know, I can make my demonette stubborn on their first break test. So if you've got a big, awful unit that I just don't want to deal, or I want to make sure that I can hit in the flank, I can Siren Song you into my demonettes, have you butcher the fuck out of them, be stubborn so I don't lose any on instability, flank you, and Bob's your uncle. Or run past you so I take you out of the game for 2 to 3 or 4 turns. Apparently that breaks it. Having one single Siren Song is just unbearable.
And again, it's one unit. We're talking about one unit in your entire army. I mean, this is no worse than stupidity or animosity.
No, you're absolutely right.
And animosity is going to affect multiple units. Stupidity will affect multiple units. This is one unit in your army. acts stupid. Come on. Oh, for God's sakes. Like, and what, you can't deal with it? Like, you can't flank that unit?
Oh, yeah, well, you know, and that's exactly the case. And I mean, like, you know, it's so stupid. But I mean, here is honestly the stupidest one out of absolutely everything. Master of Sorcery cannot be taken by a Herald of Zeke.
Yes.
For those of you that don't know, all Master of Sorcery is it is me paying 25 points for access to a rule book lore of magic and lore master on it.
Yep.
Apparently,
like a slam.
Apparently the rule book lores are so fucking broken that giving access to them with a level 2 wizard breaks the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what is hilarious, because again, you know, I lurk on that sort of Demonic Legion forum all the time. And basically what they said is just straight up, hey, why would you ever take a Herald of Tzeentch down?
Yeah.
There is no fucking reason to take one, because Lore of Tzeentch, in my opinion, I like Lore of Tzeentch. I think Lore of Tzeentch is a great lore, but only if you're lore master.
Yeah.
So if you're going to run a Lord of Change, go nuts. Take Lore of Tzeentch. It's super blasty. If you have to roll randomly on it, you can get a hodgepodge of crap. Mm-hmm. You know, to the point where your wizard is completely unusable. So it's just like, why would I take demonettes who, like I said, basically, you know, because all demon core costs the same. You know, they're all 12 points a model. Why would I take demonettes if I can't get a Siren Song? And why would I take a Herald of Tzeentch if I can't access a rulebook lore? So it's just like, basically what they're saying is taking too many bloodletters breaks the game. Taking demonettes breaks the game. And taking rulebook lores breaks the game. So, hey, every demon army, I hope you build heavy Nurgle. Because everything else is garbage.
Yeah.
We've comped the shit out of everything else. And even then, if you do play heavy Nurgle, I hope you don't ever rely on hordes or deep ranks.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So Empire, steam tank counts as a war machine. Rocket batteries and engineers are 0/1. So really not much in the way of just restrictions. I think, you know, this is one of those armies where, fine, I think it kind of fits into these restrictions okay. I think the only place where you're really going to get frustrated is the whole power dice bullshit. And dispel dice bullshit, but whatever. I mean, there's not much to say about it. I mean, them just saying the steam tank counts as a war machine, fine. But again, you're nerfing the strength of that army. Like, unlike orcs or unlike dark elves or high elves, where they've got a bit of artillery, even dwarves, where they've got a bit of artillery, dwarves can still get in there and mix it up. Empire really, really depends on being able to soften an opponent up well before you get into combat, right? And I get that cannons suck. We all don't like getting shot by cannons. God damn it. We understand they suck when they hit. But for fuck's sake, like, just accept it, right? He paid points for it. You paid points for it. I don't care if you think it's underpriced. Deal with it. It can blow itself up.
What I think is hilarious, though, is making engineers a 0/1 choice. Because when you look at it, realistically, the only reason an Empire player would ever take an engineer is to boost the ballistic skill of a Hellblaster up to 4, because a Hellblaster at ballistic skill 3 is garbage. Hey, look, I got 16 shots that hit on 5s, right? Because you're at long range. But apparently, like I said, this sort of engineers are 0/1 choices. Their way of, you know, sort of wink, wink, nudge, nudge, just being like, oh, you could take 2 Hellblasters. But we all know how much garbage they are without an engineer, so we'll just limit engineers.
Yeah.
How's that? So that way you can have one good Hellblaster that's worth its, not even worth its points. I mean, fuck, the engineer is 60 points and the Hellblaster itself is still 115. Yeah. You know, so it's just like, you know, it's just such a passive aggressive way of saying it. Like, if you don't like Hellblasters, just say Hellblasters are 0/1. Because I think the only other thing engineers do.
Don't play Empire.
Yeah, basically. Because again, you know, Empire are literally the army where it's just like, okay, I've got big blocks of shitty infantry that are going to be stubborn. Oh, wait, I don't have big blocks because they've been capped. I can't take the big blocks of infantry I need to survive a combat. I can't take enough missile weapons because I'm maxed out at 45 in my entire army.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't take the war machines that I have access to, because, I mean, fuck, Empire have access to, what, 5 war machines if you count the steam tank?
Yes.
They're allowed a maximum of 5 in the army, and now we're going to neuter the Hellblaster to the point where one is okay at 175 points. Yeah, we're not going to let you have 2 like that. God forbid. So, I mean, it's just like, it's hilarious because, you know, kind of like High Elves, which we're getting at next, their comp hurts this army in every way that they are good.
Yeah.
to the point where you have to start giving them concessions. I would be shocked if next year we didn't see that the Empire get at least 100 more points.
It would be it would not be a surprise to me. So, yeah, High Elves, the army has an extra 100 points on their roster. They can generate 3 power dice instead of 2. Hey, that actually kind of makes sense according to these restrictions. Vortex Shard counts as 1 Dispel Dice. Book of Hoeth, not banned, but it's 2 power dice and 2 Dispel Dice, which means...
So if you take the Book of Hoeth, you can only ever generate 1 power dice because they gave you that, you know, extra third one. Because, you know, they're good like that. We like High Elves. You cannot take a Vortex Shard, which you wouldn't have the points for if you took a Book of Hoeth. But you also cannot take Banner of the World Dragon or, you know, a Dispel Scroll, right. Anything like that. Like, basically, you know, they're saying that if you take the Book of Hoeth, you may not take another
magic. That's as much as you're getting in the magic phase. Thanks for coming out.
Yep.
So, you know, we talked about this before with the unit caps. High Elves are just beaten to shit with those unit caps. They make absolutely no sense. And you start looking at the High Elf army, and all you can say is, well, I have to play it now the opposite of how I would play it, which would have been a big unit, because now that all these units are capped, and it makes no sense to put these units on the table, all you're going to do is you're going to take, you know, little 10-man units of Swordmasters, you're going to try to squeeze in the biggest unit of Lothran Seaguard that you can get, maybe 2 of them, and you're just going to try to run around the table with a couple monsters, you know, maybe a dragon, maybe, you know, like, you're just going to be struggling the entire time. Mm-hmm. It makes playing High Elves completely pointless when you compare them to other armies.
But you know what it is, though? I mean, you know, honestly, like, if I was going to build a High Elf army to, again, take full advantage of these ETC restrictions, my one core unit would be basically 45 archers, because go fuck yourselves, that's your max, with full command, so I hit my 500 points core. And then I would take Dragon Princes and all Chariots, fucking 3 Tyranok Chariots, 3 Lion Chariots, and just be like, look, you're not letting me take Elite Infantry. So this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to take my 2 Bolt Throwers. And, you know, like, it's just like, it's such a stupid way, because, you know, basically you have to gear your High Elves the other way, because they're saying that if you try to dominate a magic phase, you're not allowed. You can't take a Banner of Sorcery. Although, I'm surprised it's not there. Has it been banned?
The Banner of Sorcery?
Yeah, I didn't see it for +1 power dice, which I'm sure it counts as.
Yeah, oh no, it'll count as it's just +1 power dice straight up, right?
Oh, right, because if I take a Book of Hoth and a Banner of Sorcery, I get 1 dice every
you
turn.
You can get 1 period. Dice a turn, yeah. All right, so let's move on to Lizardmen. Again, we're running a bit long here. I want to push into Lizardmen, because we kind of talked about High Elves again recently here. Right. Salamanders are 0-1, which I get a kick out of, because I take 3 of them pretty regularly, and I can tell you, yeah, they're good half the time. So I think it's kind of retarded to do this. A new restriction for them was that Scar Veterans are 0-2. The idea that taking 3 of the Lizardman characters and putting them into a unit, it's just they were crushing people, apparently. Like, these, you know, like, and again, they're relatively cheap for what you get, which is a lot of attacks at strength 5 with a decent weapon skill, low initiative. And they're
access
tough.
Access to magic items.
Access to magic items, they're tough, right? So, yeah, I get that they're good. Don't get me wrong, they're good. But capping them, considering the fact that you're paying the points for these characters instead of buying models, which I'll get to here. So, Pterodons and Stegodons of any kind are 0-2, which isn't crazy, but it is a bit frustrating for people who I'm sure out there have, you know, 3 Stegodons because they took 2 Stegodons and an Engine of the Gods.
Yeah, but I mean Pterodons. Really, Pterodons.
Well,
I mean, fuck, I have never seen a
Lizardman
player.
It's just the idea of flying units.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've never seen a Lizardman player ever take Pterodons. And are they that, like, did someone just take 3 units of Pterodons and just do, like, the fucking stone drop attack every turn? And they were like, why can't I catch these guys? This is bullshit. It breaks the game. I'm just going to ban them next year.
But yeah.
Like, I just don't understand. Like, fucking Pterodons. I've never seen them.
Well, I get it. Any flying unit right now, they're saying, is basically just super, super invaluable because of the way that you can use it. And, like, you can use it to screw up people's charges and block this and that and make it so people can't actually get in with you, yada, 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 yada. But anyways, the other thing that they added, that they continued to nerf the magic phase for Lizardmen, because even after all the nerfs before, they were still overpowered. A player may take up to 2 of the following, much like the Dark Elves. Becalming Cognition, Focus of Mastery, which is Lore Master, Focus Rumination, which is the additional dice, Higher State of Consciousness, which is being ethereal, And then Becoming Cognition counts as two Dispel Dice. Cupped Hands of the Old One counts as two Power Dice. Higher State of Consciousness counts as two Disciplines and takes up two slots, but costs the same. And I'm continuing the same list. Crown of Command and Higher State of Consciousness cannot be taken on one model because they don't want you to do the same thing as the Dark Elf player. Because, you know, there's no such thing as a character with a magic item.
No.
Magic weapons? No, they don't exist. A total maximum of six skinks, chameleon skinks, or skink cohorts unit may be taken in the army. Cohorts containing Croxagore cannot have more than 20 models.
Oh, no. It says, or numbering above, do not count for this. Skink blocks, which are worthless. No, go nuts. Take as many as you want, because we can beat those. Now, my orcs and goblins, my Bretonians, and my beastmen are really good at beating those. Yeah. So go nuts.
So what they're basically trying to do here is they're trying to say you're not allowed to take two slants. This is like what Nathan said before, which is, you know, the winky-eyed, ha-ha-ha, you know, instead of just, you know, saying we're going to limit Hellblasters, we're actually just going to limit Engineers. And basically what they're saying is you're not allowed to take two slants.
You don't have the points for in 2400. 600 points? Could you?
Well, they don't cost 300 flat out.
Oh, I guess.
You know, because you get a free discipline. And so with that free discipline, you can take, like, you know, Loremaster and then have him go to town, right? And I'm sure that's what somebody did, because Focused Rumination was pointless for the most part. So they just took a guy with Loremaster, put him out there. And then the other guy, they just gave him Ethereal and a Crown of Command and threw him out there. You know what I mean? Like, and that was the way that they played the game. So, like, I get that this is why they're doing it, but it just doesn't make any sense. They're also saying you can't cram all of these things into one character and essentially make a 400-point character. You're not allowed to do it. And it just... You've already nerfed the magic phase so much, and then now you look at this army of Lizardmen and you compare it to High Elves, where High Elves, yeah, they're dealing with the nerfed magic phase, but they're not being additionally nerfed on top of it.
Yeah.
But Lizardmen, oh, no, Slan, they're nerfed on top of it now. For the points that you're paying for a Lizardman Slan, I would not take one.
Oh, yeah, you know, and that's the thing. It's just like, fuck, my Wood Elves have played against your Slan, my Demons have played against your Slan and other Slans. It's just like, don't get me wrong, Slans are a pain in the ass, you know, because they are that good in the magic phase. But I have never... ever walked away from a game against Lizardmen and said, I lost because of the slam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like, fuck, I just don't get it, you know, because you're right. And the other thing is just like the other trend that I really kind of see is with their limit on skinks and pterodons is just like they do not like skirmish units.
Yeah.
Skirmish units that can move to the side of a block and harass them are bullshit and it's not fair. My big block unit should be able to charge your 10 skinks or your 20 skinks or however many. And that's the other thing is just like, oh, okay, I can have a maximum of 6 skink, chameleon skink, and skink cohort units. Okay, so if I'm just going to go fucking nuts on blowpipes, I'm going to take 3 identical, like 20 or 30 man skink units and just say, go fuck yourself. I'm still going to throw out, oh, wait, sorry. Oh, yeah, because I don't even have a limitation because blowpipes are not 20 plus inches.
Yeah.
So I can still take, 200 blowpipe shots. Fuck, someone needs to do this. Someone that is going to the ETC, I want you to take 200 blowpipes. So you have to get 400 shots a turn so that next year they'll be banned. Just as a point, because like I said, all it is whoever read the 2011 rules, everyone gamed the ever-living shit out of them, which is what happens with comp. You know, you try to comp shit, everyone is going to look at your rules and they're going to break them because that's what we do. You know, we're gamers. We're tournament gamers. We look at a comp package, we break the ever-living fuck out of it, and then we go to the tournament. I want to see someone take 400 shots a turn with their Lizardmen army so that way skinks can be banned outright next year.
Yeah, right. You can take a max of one skink unit. Okay, so I'm going to...
Max 10 models per unit.
Yeah, I'm going to push through Ogre Kingdoms. Hellheart counts as two Dispel Dice and a Power Dice. Sure, why not? That makes no sense, but sure.
But that's because Hellheart dispelling shit and giving you dice is bullshit. Bullshit.
Greedy Fist on Death Magic user counts as one Dispel Dice. Hilarious.
That doesn't even, like, I don't even understand why they say the death magic, because doesn't the greedy fist require you to hit someone in close combat to destroy magic items and or steal magic levels? No,
well, if you hit them, it reduces their magic levels. If you make a save, it eats the magic item, and it's a 6+ save. 6+
Yeah, yeah. But like I said, it's even funnier, because like on death magic user, I just don't get it. Like I'm sure there's a combo in there.
A stupid maybe. Combo. But let's get into Orc and Goblins here.
Well, why? Because they play orcs?
Yes, clearly. Go ahead and explain that, Nathan, because, yeah.
All right, so one of them clearly plays orcs. Someone on this organizing committee, or multiple someones, play it. Night Goblin Shamans are 0-3, which, okay, why would I spam wizards when you've nerfed the magic phase as fucking hard as you have? Max 3 of any kind of Night Goblin Shamans, that way they're saying I can't take a lord and 3 heroes. Big deal, I don't give a fuck. Mushroom dice do not count as power dice. So even though a Night Goblin Shaman gets a free dice every single time he rolls a spell, the only limitation on this is if he rolls a 1, the spell fails and there's a chance that he takes damage.
Yeah.
Okay. They don't count because I play orcs and I run 3 Night Goblin Shamans.
Yeah.
So that's why I picked 3 as my arbitrary number, because it doesn't affect me and I get to get all this bullshit. But this is my favorite part. Maximum model cap is removed for this army. So that way I can still take my 100-man Night Goblin unit with nets and fanatics and spears.
And magic and banners. Commands
and a magic banner. Because at 3 points a model, my 100 is only 300. My command is 330. I don't think they can get a magic banner. Nets puts me up to 350. And then I take my 3 fanatics for 425 points. There, fair is fair.
Yeah, fair is fair, right? And I can also still take a 600-point Black Orc squad if I feel like it. And Death Star the shit out of it.
They say maximum model cap, so I'm assuming that the 450 points still exists.
Oh.
But yeah, I mean, I still have 6-point fucking orcs, so I can still take a Death Star of orcs.
Yep, same thing.
It is so clear that a lot of the organizing committee for ETC that writes these bullshit rules plays orcs and goblins because they're basically giving them as many advantages as they can.
Yep.
Again, in that passive-aggressive wink-wink-nudge-nudge kind of way.
Now, the hilarious part about this is the very next thing down is Skaven, which, well, of course you would think that being another Horde army with similar points costs, that they would also have the model cap removed, and they are. Wait, no, they're not, are they? No shit.
Because Skaven break the game. Well, everyone knows
it's that such you bad just, acting at this point in the
oh,
show.
Oh, I know. Oh, my God. How much scotch have you drank at this point? Because you didn't even tell people what kind of scotch.
That doesn't matter at this point.
It's true. All Skaven rare choices, 0-1. Now, what I'm not clear about is, does this mean that a Skaven army can take a single rare choice, regardless of whether it's a Plague Claw, a Warp Lightning, one of each. Fair enough. Because 2 breaks the game. Which is funny, because I've run it up against the 2 A-bomb list. Oh, yeah. I fuck it up. Yeah, like, it's just
not
like
a problem.
I take flaming attacks now that I can get Banner of Eternal Flame.
Oh, yeah, it's easy, man.
Oh, it's so easy to die.
Those things are not that problematic. Trust me. They really are not. But
I love A-bombs because I never sweat them. But apparently people in Europe do. Gutter Runners are limited by 2 units and 20 models total. Because, again, like I said, it's that whole... Clearly, last year, someone took a shit ton of Gutter Runners with slings and just did the whole, I'm going to sidestep your big block and shoot the ever-living fuck out of you. And so that's why they've decided that that's not allowed. And that's why I want someone to take a Lizardman army with like 100 skinks. Please, please do it for me. Do it for me. Engineers are 0-3 because apparently spamming level 1 wizards breaks the game. I can take 2 of the following, the Doom Rocket, the Brass Orb, and the Storm Banner, because stopping units from flying and limiting the shooting phase that I've already limited breaks the game. Brass Orb, because the ability to instant kill a greater demon on a failed roll is crap. And the Doom Rocket, because being able to, once per game, kill like 20 or 30 infantry out of a single unit breaks the game. Like, it's just hilarious. They hate Skaven.
Oh, they hate Skaven like you wouldn't believe. Tomb because Kings suck.
Yes, Tomb Kings still terrible. Despite your new book, you still get 200 extra victory points.
You still lick balls.
Your Scrolls of Mighty Incantations count as 2 power dice and 2 dispel dice. So if you take the I dispel all of the, remains in place, which won't be an issue since you're only ever going to get 1 spell off a game.
Right, exactly. After four turns, you might have a couple of remaining plays out on the board that you can dispel. You know, is that worth not channeling?
Yeah, for sure. It totally is.
Taking no dispel.
Sphinxes of all kind are 0-3 because, you know, toughness 8 with no armor breaks the game. Which is clear.
I love it when people bring skinks because I'm just like, poison blowpipes.
Oh, yeah.
And they die because they're 5+8, can't do shit.
My Nurgle at strength 4 with poison loves sphinxes, especially because my Herald makes them always strike last. I've never run into a sphinx that I have not ganked with my Nurgle unit. But yeah, apparently they're broken.
And they get to generate up to 3 power dice. Again, sure, woo! Why the hell not?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Wood Elf armies, you suck as well. And it's all about the same. There's really not much to it.
What's funny, though, is the Wood Elves can take 4 of the same core unit. The reason this is funny is you've capped my bows, so I can't take more. You know, I'm not going to take 4 10-man units of Glade Guard unless I'm an idiot.
Yep.
They're basically saying that you can take as many Dryads as you want. And from experience, I mean, I've played Wood Elves since the book was released. Dryads are fucking terrible. Maybe it's just for me. Other people I read online have good luck with Dryads, but Dryads are fucking awful. They're really only good for giving your opponent points. Wand of Witch Elm, because again, rerolling dispel attempts breaks the game. Only Glade Guard count for the max 45 models with shooting weapons, so that way I can max out my Glade Guard taking 45.
You can take Waywatchers, man.
Which, why would you? They're fucking awesome.
You take so many of them because they're so great.
And Glade Riders.
They're so much better than Shadow Warriors.
The only reason I didn't nominate them was because I nominated Shadow Warriors, and they're the same unit.
All right, so Warriors of Chaos. Let's finish this show up here. Hell Cannon is 0-1 again because two pieces of artillery in an army. See, what I love about this is they max War Machines to 5, and then they go to an army that has literally one piece of artillery in it, and they're just like, you can only take one. But you said I could take 5. Yeah, it's too good. You can only take one.
What the fuck?
Like, let them take 2. It takes up their entire rare slot. Like, come on. Infernal Puppet, lots of, you know, 1 power dice, 2 dispel. Tendrils of Tzeentch and Conjoined Homunculus are both 2 dispel, so you couldn't mix those into your list. Or, I'm sorry, both 2 power dice, so you couldn't mix them in. And again, the unit caps are just going to be insane for this army. You're going to be struggling the whole way through to fight these unit caps. But, hey, you're better off than demons. See, but this is where I come down, again, on my Lizard Men. Is even with the unit caps for Warriors of Chaos, with my magic phase as neutered as it is, and the fact that, like, okay, well, I guess if my magic phase is going to suck, I'm going to, you know, overbalance that by taking, you know, maybe more salamanders. Nope. Well, maybe I'll take another Stegodon. No, fuck that. Well, I can't take a big unit of knights. Nope, that's too big. So what am I going to buy? Morsaurus? Like, that's my only option, is to buy Morsaurus. So if I'm going to play an army where all I'm going to do is essentially play a Chaos army with guys who aren't as good as Chaos Warriors, I would just go play Chaos. Take a level 4, put them in the list, you know, take the Infernal Puppet or whatever and just play a Chaos Warriors army because they're better at doing that type of list than Lizard Man are. Because I just don't have the opportunity to play that anymore. And that's how this thing feeds back into people just playing the same lists over and over again.
For sure. And I mean, the worst part is I would hate to have to play Warriors of Chaos here because, I mean, they basically said that if I take Warriors, I can't take a big unit of Warriors of Chaos because that breaks the game. If I take Marauders, I can't take a big unit of Marauders because that also breaks the game. So it's just like they're basically saying that if I play Warriors of Chaos, I need to play this bullshit MSU style unit where it's just like, okay, I'm going to go nuts, but wait, I can't take more than 3 units of Warriors of Chaos because that too breaks the game. So, I mean, they're fucking them everywhere they can. I can't take more core units because, like I said, more than 3 is banned. I cannot take a big unit because that's banned. I cannot take Marauders because otherwise, I mean, I could take my unit of 40 Marauders, but they're not going to do that great. I mean, fuck, you really want to go nuts if you're going to take a horde of 5-point models. But again, they're fucking banning everything. Like, it's just, I would not take Warriors of Chaos here. And I mean, and this is me as a demon player where I'm just like, I guess I might be able to figure out a way to make a demon army that isn't screwed by their fucking comp and is still pretty good. I mean, really all they're saying is take greater demons.
Yeah.
It is the single most effective thing that they haven't comped yet. Next year, I expect the comp to be there.
Right, exactly. Unless you're playing Tzeentch, and you're playing a Lord of Change.
Yeah, in which case he's terrible.
He's terrible. Or you're playing the Keeper of Secrets and you can't take Siren Song.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus, I already can't. Christ. Okay, so all right, let's come back. Let's reel this Joy Fest back in. Because I'm sure that anybody not interested in this crap has turned us off a long time ago. You know, I feel like the one of the biggest things that I come away from this massive list of restrictions feeling is that I look at the list that I'm playing and I look at the army that I'm playing and I think of the reasons why I'm playing them. And the way that they've put these restrictions in, I think in most cases, has put me into a situation where I don't want to play that army anymore because the things that I loved about it that I want to play it for are just not available to me anymore. Now, a lot of these restrictions do not apply to the things that I do with my army list because I don't play those types of army lists. I tend to play relatively balanced competitive lists that, you know, hit pretty hard. I don't try to game the system and I don't try to, you know, run the Pendant of Goleth craziness because to me, I like the Black Dragon Egg more. Right? Like these are this is the way that I play. So does this affect me that much? No, it really doesn't. The list that I have for Lizardmen right now isn't all that changed compared to what I'm playing right now. To be perfectly honest, I'm not that restricted. I only take one Salamander unit. But have I thought about taking two and trying it out? Yeah. Have I thought about taking three Stegadons? Absolutely. You've said multiple times I should pick up a third Stegadon.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, do I like my Slan? Hey, I have problems with my Slan. I did for a very long time where I pulled him out and I played a Carnosaur Lord. You know what I mean? I don't have to worry about artillery. I don't have to worry about the magic face cap if I'm not playing a Slan. But the problem is, you know, I look at all of these things and I look at the way that I would play these armies and I walk away from it going like, man, I should just play my orcs. And I don't play that army a lot. But I can do so much more with it. I can actually play the list I want to play if I go play my orcs.
Yep.
You know, and that's what frustrates me so much about this is it's actually turning me off to all of my other armies. Obviously, we didn't talk about vampire counts because they hadn't decided to nerf the shit out of them yet.
Well, yeah, they haven't figured out in what ways vampires break the game yet. I'm sure that they're going to probably combine bloodline powers and magic items into the same 100 points.
Almost guaranteed.
So that you cannot combine for the big combos the vampires are capable of.
Yeah, they'll probably nerf the Mortis engine and, you know, like they'll just go in and go crazy on it and nerf the Black Coach and blah, 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 blah. Anyways, like I was saying, that's the thing that bothers me so much about this is that it's so restrictive and it's so close-minded that I look at the four or five armies that I have to play for Warhammer and I want to play the one that I want to play the least. It's the one that doesn't stand out in my mind. It's not the one that's painted well. It's not the one that I have the most fun playing. I don't mind it. I haven't sold it yet. I haven't thrown it away yet. But this is definitely not the army that I would want to take to a tournament. But it's the army I should take to a tournament. The way that this comp system is built. And it frustrates me.
I'm the exact same way as I look at it, and I'm just like, I could make a demon army that might be able to work with that. But I mean, that fucking max 28 models per unit absolutely ruins it to the point where I'm just like, you know what? I'd take Wood Elves. If I was ever going to go to the ETC, I would take a Wood Elf army that would have 45 Glade Guard and Dryads and, you know, the Eternal Guard Horde. Actually, I can't do that. Too many points.
Nope, too many but points.
Too many points. But I mean, like, I would take my Wood Elves and I would play the douchiest MSU list I possibly could because it is basically the list that they have said is the only way we want you to play Wood Elves. And my goal would be to try to get shit banned for next year. Hey, this guy with the Wood Elves is such a dickhead that we're going to take their 200 points away.
Yeah.
Like, that would be my goal. Because, like I say, you know, out of my two armies of Demons and Wood Elves, their Demons list, like, if I were to look at every single thing, the max 28 models means that I could not run a unit of Bloodletters or Demonettes in sizes that I'd be happy with. Aldermonic Gifts are 0-1 doesn't affect me because I try to be as multi-god as possible, so I usually only have one character per god. Bloodletters and Herald of Khorne, I run one unit of Bloodletters, one Herald. Battle Standard Bearer can take either Demonic Icon or Gifts. Again, I can get away with it. Siren Song, I wouldn't take, may not be taken by Herald of Slaanesh. Like I said, next year it'll be Keeper of Secrets, Master of Sorcery. So it's like, I lose my Herald of Tzeentch, I lose my Blood Letters, I lose the Demonettes that I was working on. You know, so it's just like, okay, what do I have? I have my Greater Demon, I have my one unit of Flamers, my one unit of Seekers, and my one unit of Plaguebearers with Herald. And I have to start again from the ground up. I wouldn't bother. I straight up wouldn't, because they're basically destroying the army that I've built and painted, because apparently it is too good, even though I lost, what, three of my games at, out of the basement?
Well, it's just because you suck.
Well, yeah. Well, no, that's because you know, that's because demons are so over the top that they can only ever win one game.
No, it...
We all know that. Because, but I mean, even if you look at Onslaught that I did win, I won two games tied to.
Yeah.
And, I, you know, so it's just like, my demons are not unstoppable, despite the fact that I am breaking one, two, three, four of their comp restrictions. And in the last two tournaments I've gone to, I have a combined total of three wins, three losses, and two draws. But apparently that is too over the top. They want me to lose more.
Yeah. Well, they want you to play orcs.
Yes.
Because that Savage Orc list that you built, you could ETC build that shit and just go fucking insane.
Yes.
Like, a Savage Orc list in here would be absolutely nuts. And again, you know what? So would the Night Goblins, clearly, as they've pointed out. Yes. But, okay, so let's break this down. The stupidity check for this week, as far as I'm concerned, is the last bit on the ETC list, which is their quote-unquote simple line of sight rules. I just don't understand why true line of sight is so horrendous. I've heard people use the term modeling for, you know, modeling for effect or whatever, where you
or advantage,
modeling for advantage so that, you know, you you go buy one of the short giants so that he can hide behind walls. Ooh, crazy. You know what I mean? Like, it's just this idea that people are playing games and looking at the terrain and looking at the model that he has compared to the model that you have, and you're sitting there shaking your head going, this is unfair. Well, guess fucking what? Like, that's just the way the game works. You know, an Abyssal Terror is not the size of a giant. You know? Do they factor the size of the model into the points? No. Should they? No! It's fucking stupid.
Well, and the worst part is like I said, even if we talk about 40K for a second, 40K 4th Edition had it's basically 40K 4th Edition line of sight rules. And then they moved from them to true line of sight because they basically said, it's absolutely retarded for me to be able to see your model and you claim that I can't because the rules say in an abstract way that I can't. Even though with true line of sight, there are rules for intervening units in the way. So, I mean, even if you can see me and there's a unit in the way, it's a fucking hard cover save. So, I mean, it's just like, it is so fucking retarded that they would change to this archaic, convoluted size type system where they're basically saying that, you know, you cannot see, like, these block line of sight, and this is what's hilarious to me, a river, a march, I don't even know what a march is, and a swarm.
Now, I think it's just the month of March.
Maybe.
You can't shoot anything in the month of March.
Because it is all block line of sight. Now, what is funny to me, Lang, is you live in a town with a river, as do I.
I do.
If you are on one side of a river, can you see someone on the other side of the river?
Yes.
Liar. It blocks line of sight.
No, really, I can.
Like, I'm just like, wait, so you mean a terrain feature that is actually below ground, that cuts through the ground and is below me,
fucking gravity, blocks my line of sight? How the fuck does that work?
Dude, do you think the ETC rules are written by Juggalos?
It could be.
You know, that might make a lot of sense.
Just fucked up on fucking...
It's a miracle, dude. But like I said, it's just so fucking stupid. You know, because like I said, they don't even make sense. Well, if I'm standing behind a hill or any impassable terrain, so it could just be like a rocky outcropping, you can't see me.
Well, therefore,
you can't target me. You can't do any of that.
I love that the rationalization for this is they're just like, oh yeah, they would get low. Like, they would belly crawl. Like, they would just be like in the, like, you know, they're going to use the scenery. They're not just going to walk past it. It's just like, no, we're talking about people fighting in fucking formations. They walked past it. You know what I mean? Like, the skirmishers got into it. And that's why there's a skirmisher's rule. Because they actually use the terrain. The guys walking past it are just walking past it. Because the guy at the front holding the banner, yelling at them, says, "You're not getting bread and gruel unless you walk past this scenery." You know what I mean? Like,
but they hate skirmish units and are trying to limit.
Well, exactly, right? But it's just, yeah, it's, this was the one that makes the least amount of sense to me as well, because of the idea that you've already nerfed shooting and magic, so why do you feel like you need to nerf line of sight? Like, why do you feel like you need to go and, you know, straighten up line of sight? And just the fact that they call it simple line of sight, I just find absolutely ridiculous, because the simplest line of sight is fucking line of sight.
Yes, true line of sight is simpler than this abstract concept.
Than 12 again, lines of
hey reverse block
line of sight.
I was going to say, if you don't believe me, I want you to find a river. I want you to stand on one end, one side of it, and tell me if you can see across it, because I'll guarantee you can't. The ETC says you can't.
Yeah, that's the truth right there. All right. Final thoughts, Nathan?
Why bother? You know, like, it's just like, yeah. final thoughts for me is, you know, I would not go to an ETC event. I could get be offered a spot on Team Canada, even though I don't think there is one.
There is.
Okay. I could be, you know, I could be given the free trip to Poland this year, and I, honest to God, would not even bother, because to me, I feel like, you know, it's what I've said over and over and over again. You, as a tournament gamer, can only vote with your dollars on whether or not you would support a tournament. And even if, like I said, I got a free trip to Europe and I got to hang around in Poland for fucking 2 weeks to play one weekend worth of gaming, it's not worth it. Yep. Like, I would straight up just say no, because this comp is so brain dead retarded to the point where it's just like, you're not even playing Warhammer anymore. You know, and so, I mean, final thoughts.
Well, you're playing Warhammer. You're just playing that guy's Warhammer.
Well, yeah, for sure. I mean, really, realistically, why don't I just, you know, why don't we just fucking sit down, decide everything we hate to play against, we'll ban it, and we'll just call it, you know, Jaded Gamercast Tournament Comp.
Yeah, but we'll make sure that the demons have maybe a couple of, you know, that theirs isn't hit quite so bad, because you play demons, yeah, and your last few games haven't been so good.
Listen, demons get 200 extra points because they just struggle.
It's just, that's the same with Lizard. I mean, they're 50-50, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Same with Lizardmen.
For me, I think what it comes down to is, you know, the people who are doing this put a lot of time into it. They playtest it. They get out there.
Well, they claim they playtest it. Well,
sure. Fair enough. There's like 8 of them. I'm sure one of them playtests it. But, you know, like, I get that they're doing this because this is what their community wants. And, you know what? More power to you in that respect. If this is what your community wants, hey, go for it. It's the branding of this being like the international system where it's so widely accepted by like half of the gaming community that really frustrates me. And I look at the way that they want you to play Warhammer, and it's not the way that I want to play Warhammer. So I agree with you. I would not be going to an ETC event purely because of this. Do I feel that Warhammer is broken? No. So the entire premise of the ETC, their rules, their restrictions, and all of these things, it just does not mesh with the way that I play Warhammer or the way that I want to play it. If somebody came up to me and they said, hey, I'm running a tournament, you basically pick the army that you want to play, I hand you an army list, you give me your model count and you tell me what you have, and here's what you play with, I don't care if you use counts as, this is your list, no, I'm not going to show up to that. So even though...
But that's ETC 2014.
2014, right? But even for this, like I said, my Lizardmen, I could play my Carnosaur Lizardmen list and have, you know, and not hit a single one of their comp restrictions. Do I want to do that? No. No, thank you.
Yeah.
Because it's stupid. It's just, you know, well, just because I happen to get lucky and fall into it does not mean that that's what I want to play.
You know, and that was my thoughts last year is last year, I mean, they didn't have that stupid 28 models per unit on Demons. And the other thing that they didn't have was the No Siren Song and the No Master of Sorcery. I was just like, you know what? My fucking demon army, you know, skates under, because at the time I was running the 30-man unit of Bloodletters with the Herald. So it was a 30-man horde, which was under 450 points. Like, it was just like literally nothing changed with my army. And I still looked at it and I was just like, I just don't want to play it. Like, it's just, it's not appealing to me. But apparently, you know, so I mean, it's just... Yeah, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, the ETC can go on being crazy, playing in their own fucking sandbox over there, and I'll just never go. And I mean, I've heard of tournaments in Countrystan and in Neighborstan, where they're just like, oh yeah, we're totally running ETC comp. And if that ever came up locally, I would boycott the tournament. I'd be very vocal about boycotting the tournament on this podcast, even if it is somebody that I knew running it. So, you know, friends that I know that are running tournaments, you've been warned. I will straight up fucking boycott you and tell everyone to boycott you if you
run. But all that's going to do is raise attendance for those tournaments, right?
Well, is it, you know, we'll have to see how Warhammered works, because I know we are...
we pumped it, but they're sold out, so as far as it's going right now... Like I said,
yeah, I mean, our graphs are back to making a straight line.
We're all over the place.
That's right.
All right. Well, that's Jaded Gamercast for this week. My name is Lang.
I'm Nathan.
Have a good one.
Cheers.